Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During Lent this year, we are concentrating our Sunday reflections upon the means which God chooses to deliver His grace to us through His Word and the sacraments, especially the gift of the Lord's body and blood given for you. 2 weeks ago, we considered how the Lord's Supper is bread from heaven, nourishing and strengthening us for our journey toward the heavenly promised land, as we just sang in the last hymn. Last week, as we also sang in the last hymn, we heard about Abram, who God told to go to the land that I would show you, Lech Lecha, and how Abram went in faith, trusting in God's promise that was fulfilled in Christ, ultimately, and how we too can go to the Lord's table to receive forgiveness, trusting in His promise. Today we continue thinking about the Lord's Supper, focusing our attention on the blessed communion that we receive in the Holy Meal. Martin Luther wrote a communion hymn called, O Lord, We Praise Thee, that confesses this truth about the blessed communion in the third verse of it. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. But it goes like this. May God bestow on us His grace and favor that we follow Christ our Savior and live together here in love and union, nor despise this blessed communion. O Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. This hymn, along with our scripture readings today, reminds us that the Lord's Supper is a communion. Communion of saints, well, this is what we're talking about. It's a communion or a participation with Christ and with one another. Hear again what St. Paul wrote. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? This word participation in Greek is the word koinonia. It's translated three ways, really, into English. Fellowship, participation, or communion. St. Paul is teaching the Corinthians that through the Lord's Supper, they have, listen to this, actual union and fellowship with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In the same, the very same word is used, as we heard earlier, by Luke in the book of Acts, where he says, the first Christians are described as devoting themselves steadfastly to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, communion, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This tells us what the first Christians were doing. They were doing the same thing that we're doing here today, celebrating the Lord's Supper and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The Lord's Supper, what a blessed gift it is. Through very simple means, bread and wine attached to God's promise, Christians come in contact with the very Son of God Himself. It's like the woman at the well. If you knew who He is, you would ask Him for this living water. He's right there in front of you. He's right here in front of you today. You get to have union with your Savior, Jesus Christ. It's something that you don't get to experience anywhere else in the world, but right here in the Lord's Supper. And for the one who believes, this is a very good thing, because Christ shares His holiness with you. This is an especially good thing because in and of ourselves, we are not holy. As we consider, especially during the season of Lent, And as we said earlier in our confession of sins, with repentant hearts, we acknowledge and confess that we are unholy, unworthy, and unclean. We're sinners. By our koinonia, our fellowship with each other, apart from Christ, it's unholy with unholy. Doesn't do any good. Our fellowship with Adam, from whom we're all descended, we inherited unholiness. And our own unclean thoughts, words, and deeds make us unacceptable in God's sight. Jesus identifies this unholiness when he says, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. That's what a heart looks like by itself. It's called sin. Sin mars our living. Sin perverts life itself. Sin screws up our perceptions of the world the way it ought to be and the way it really is. Sin is what starts quarrels amongst us. And sin is what endorses lies. We know that Jesus, in justice and truth, brings down the gavel on sin and sinner. He is the judge who will come at the end to judge the living and the dead. But in his love and in his care, he refreshes us through word and water and bread and wine. It should cause us great joy that we unholy people can share in Christ's holiness through participation in his body and his blood at the sacrament of the altar. Here at the altar, he invites us into a blessed communion with him. At the sacrament of the altar, Jesus Christ binds himself to us, to you. And there's another dimension to this idea of communion or fellowship, and it starts with Christ. There's another union that takes place in the Lord's Supper. It is first and foremost a union of the believer with Jesus Christ. But this blessed communion results in another union, that of Christian to Christian. Our readings today remind us that the Lord's Supper is never a me and Jesus thing alone. Although we receive the benefits of the Lord's Supper individually, it's not a private matter. When you come to the altar and receive this salutary gift, given and shed for you individually, for the forgiveness of sins, you are bound and united with all those with whom you commune. St. Paul says it this way, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We who are many, says Paul, become part of Christ's one body in the Lord's Supper. So as Christ binds himself to us, he binds us to each other as well. People might say, well, Pastor, what about private communion? Don't you take people communion when you call on shut-ins? Yes. Yes. Yes, I do. Well, isn't that just a private matter between them and Jesus? No, it's not. I take them bread and wine from this altar. They are communing with you. And someday, And maybe you're alone, or you're in a hospital, or a nursing home, or home alone. And a pastor brings you communion. He's bringing you fellowship of all of those who are around you today. That's part of this koinonia, this fellowship with Christ. He's bringing you holiness. Holiness that you share with each other in Jesus Christ. That starts and ends with Jesus Christ. You are united with each other, brothers and sisters, through Christ, through this sacrament of the altar. Since we are united with Christ and through Him with one another, it goes without saying that those who come to this table should be united in our confession of faith, and we should be reconciled with one another. Division at the Lord's table is not pleasing in God's sight. Last week, we talked about how God called Abraham away from idolatry when God called him to go to the land that he would show him. Well, Paul's teaching to the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper also appears in the context of a warning against idolatry. Last week we talked about how grudges could be an idol, something that we hold against someone that we don't let go of. Or even, well, that's enough said about that. I'm not going to rehearse last week's sermon. But Paul calls the Corinthians out of idolatry. He says, don't be idolaters, as some of them were. And he issues similar warnings against sexual immorality, testing Christ, and grumbling. You remember the sermon 2 weeks ago. He reminds the Corinthians of what happens to those who engage in these things and are stuck there. Paul summarizes these warnings by saying, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And then he begins his practical application of the Lord's Supper regarding idolatry. He argues that to partake of the food that is in a religious rite is to participate in the God who's being worshipped in that rite. So for a Christian, it means at the sacrament of the altar, you have fellowship or participation with Christ, the body and blood of Christ who is in that sacrament, in the cup and in the bread. Therefore, it's necessary that we are united in confession of faith and in doctrine. And it's also necessary that those who commune at the Lord's table have no enemies at the Lord's table. If you claim to be reconciled with Christ, yet you continue to hold on to grudges or anger against another Christian, well, when you come to the table of the Lord, are you not lying to the Lord and to yourself? Christians should be willing to let go of their grievances with their brothers and sisters before they come to the Lord's Supper, or they risk forfeiting their own forgiveness from Christ, as we learn in the parable of the unforgiving servant. But there's another aspect of the blessed communion with Christ and with one another that God grants us to us in the Lord's Supper that I haven't talked about yet. What is that third union, that third communion, that third fellowship? What is it? Have you ever paid close attention to the words of our communion liturgy, the part that goes, therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying sanctus? What is that company of heaven? Hebrews 12 says, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. when we are gathered at the Lord's altar. Our departed loved ones, recent, not so recent, those who have fallen asleep in our Lord Jesus Christ, they are part of that whole company of heaven. You know them. I know you know them. We talk about the communion of saints. It's you and them. You have communion with them. Think about that today when you come forward. Who is it in your life that you knew who departed this veil of tears in faith? You're communing with him or her and with one another. Is that not a blessed communion? As we sing on All Saints Day, and again, I'm not going to sing this. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. You commune with them through Christ. What comfort there is in knowing that we have union with our Lord Jesus Christ and with each other and with our blessed departed in the fellowship of the altar. A blessed fellowship, a blessed communion through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness and life that he offers us in this blessed sacrament. Amen. Now may the peace of God